ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विक्रायणी तस्या च्युत्या च्युत धान्याकर द्वया फलैरपूरयत् रत्ने फल भाण्डम अपूरि च. ट्रांसलेशन. While Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Krishna says, पत्रम पुष्पम फलम तोयम यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहम भक्तुपरितम अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः. कृष्णा इज सो काइंड दैट इफ एनीवन ऑफर्स हिम अ लीफ अ फ्रूट अ फ्लावर और सम वाटर ही विल इमीडिएटली एक्सेप्ट इट. द ओनली कंडीशन इज दैट दिस थिंग्स शुड बी ऑफर्ड विद भक्ति यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति. अदरवाइज इफ वन इज पफ्ड अप विद फॉल्स प्रेस्टीज थिंकिंग आई हैव सो मच ऑफ ऑपुलेंस and I am giving something to Krishna, one's offering will not be accepted by Krishna. The fruit vendor, although woman belonging to the aboriginal class, dealt with Krishna with great affection, saying, Krishna, you have come to me to take some fruit in exchange for grains. All the grains have fallen, but still you may take whatever you like. Thus, she filled Krishna's palms with whatever fruits he could carry. In exchange, Krishna filled her whole basket with jewels and gold. From this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. The basic principle involved is an exchange of love. Therefore, Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi yad yajnashi yad yushidratsi yad yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurishva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all the austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. With love and affection, one should try to give something to Krishna from one's source of income. Then one's life will be successful. Krishna is full in all opulences. He does not need anything from anyone. But if one is prepared to give something to Krishna, that is for one's own benefit. The example given in this connection is that when one's real face is decorated, the reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulences, we as parts and parcels or reflections of Krishna will also become happy in exchange. Krishna is always happy for his Atma Ram, fully satisfied with his own opulence. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with the childhood pastimes of Krishna. We heard how Krishna delivered the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvera and Manigrave, who were standing in his courtyard, Nand Maharaj's courtyard, as Yamal Arjuna trees. And now Srila Prabhupada is speaking about, or Shukdev Goswami is narrating the wonderful pastime of the fruit vendor coming to the house of Krishna and coming to sell the fruits. So this particular verse here, very instructive. Srila Prabhupada gives a long purport to this verse. And he is especially emphasizing on the importance of giving in charity. That how this fruit vendor, that she, from the point of view of from a materialistic point of view, she's a very poor lady. She is just a fruit vendor. How much the fruit vendor can really earn? Not much. Especially like a person who goes from place to place with the basket. Whatever she sells, that much money they get. No, it's not that she is staying at one place with lots of, big shop is there and lots of fruits are around, and then she just goes on selling them, whatever she can carry. And she's an old woman. How much she can carry actually? She can carry few fruits, and she goes on door to door, sells the fruits, and whatever she gets, that's all. But here you find that, you know, she comes here and she comes to sell the fruits to Krishna. And that time there was this barter system. You know, you have something in your house, you just give it and in exchange you get the things what you have. So Krishna, when he hears that, you know, the fruit vendor has come, she wants to buy some fruits. He's seen his parents doing that. So he gets some grains in his hands. And young Krishna, how much he can carry? If you find sometimes small children, you know, they try to carry, but then their hands are not so, you know, the fingers are not so much, you know, there's no coordination much. And then she carries it and all the grains fall. So you can hardly imagine how much, you can imagine how much will be there actually when she has gone to the fruit vendor to give. Hardly grains. Maybe you can count on your fingers also how many grains that Krishna was giving to the fruit vendor, this lady. And here it's mentioned that, you know, that Krishna is going to the fruit vendor very hastily, and most of the grains he was holding fell. Chuta dhanya. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels. The fruit vendor, that lady did not think that, you know, oh, this is a small baby, what will he give? Or he has, you know, already whatever he was supposed to give, everything that also has fallen down. You know, somebody would think that, you know, maybe I should not give him anything, or maybe give just one small fruit. One small one, the smallest of the fruits which is there in the basket would have given to him. That would have been the tendency. Chalo, jao. Sometimes small children come to some vendors and say something to eat, and then you don't give the best of that, you know, to them. You just give the smallest, something which is maybe not, may not be sold also, you just give to them. Jao. Chale jao. No, this fruit vendor, this lady, she had such a wonderful nature of giving, and giving with love, that she offered everything she had in the basket to Krishna. So much so that Krishna's hands were filled with all these fruits. Krishna was not able to hold also. You know, a very nice, wonderful picture of this lady and Krishna holding all these fruits in his hands. And Krishna is carrying all these fruits. And willingly she is giving with love and affection. She gives this. And then it's mentioned that as soon as she looks into the basket is filled with jewels and gold. That's a reciprocation that the Lord does with this fruit vendor. And Srila Prabhupada, in this nice purport, you know, speaks about how the act of giving with love and devotion, when one does that, then one is not a loser. A very nice point here mentions Krishna. Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. It's a very wonderful point. If you just have faith in that, probably, you know, we will be peaceful. Such a nice, wonderful way. In this material world, if you see, if you try to give something to someone, you may not expect, you may not get it also, what you expect. You expect more, you get less. That's the nature of this world. But here, we are told that you give Krishna little. You know, anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions and millions of times, both materially and spiritually. You know, the nature of this materialistic world is that everyone wants to hold on for himself. Accumulate as much as possible. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, such a thing will only give you distress, that's all, nothing else. It will only get you more and more, bring you more and more anxiety. You'll not be happy in this. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his discussions, very nice way Srila Prabhupada mentions, that actually one should understand that everything is Krishna's property. It is Krishna's money. Krishna's, you know, everything what is around is all Krishna's. So it becomes one's duty to give it to Krishna back. If you don't give to Krishna, then that money will be going in some way or the other. And Prabhupada very graphically just, you know, describes this particular incident. He's just saying that supposing if somebody doesn't give what rightfully belongs to Krishna, then what happens? Then, you know, then you have to give this in some way or the other. Like in elevation to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, like wealth accumulated in some way or the other goes off. If it's not properly utilized, it goes off in the form of taxes or robbery or in the form of, you know, paying for health or plundered by relatives or family members, whatever, you know. It will go off in some way or the other. And it gives a very nice example, graphic example. He says, like, just like this Indo-Pak war. Gives a very nice, maybe that time the war was wrong. This is a lecture in 1972. This is the Indo-Pak war. He says everyone were allowed to give, you know, were forced to give as much money as they can. So rich men had to pay almost about like 50 lakh rupees. And he says, what happened? They pay and this is utilized to make gunpowder. And what is gunpowder? Gunpowder used in putting swaha. He says Prabhupada makes a noise, you know. So all the money has to be given into swaha. Swaha is used in fire, gunpowder, you know. And then he speaks of Vietnam War. Swaha, young men, swaha, everything swaha, swaha. And then ultimately, he says, finished. But he says, but if you learn to offer to Krishna and say swaha, then all these things you don't have to do. But the problem here in this material world is that everyone wants to have everything for himself and not to give to others. So this culture of giving is the most important aspect as far as we are concerned, and we need to learn about it. Srila Prabhupada mentions yajna, dana and tapasya. This one aspect, you know, yajna, dana, tapasya. Srila Prabhupada mentions that all these three aspects one cannot avoid. As a brahmachari, one has to perform certain sacrifices. As a householder, one has to give dan. You have to give. You cannot avoid that. And as sannyasis, one performs tapasyas. And Prabhupada says that how dan is what? A voluntary giving of one's material possessions. You know, when you give that in charity, that willingly, voluntarily you give one's possession for the welfare activity. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes on this point very much, that, you know, one has to give this. This is a culture. Like I heard one nice saying that the values that we leave in a children are more important than the valuables we leave in our, in them. The values we leave, L-E-A-V-E, leave in our children are more important than the values we leave, the valuables then we leave in them. In other words, it's important for each one, every one of us to inculcate this aspect of giving or giving in, you know, charity. And that goes from the childhood. Right from childhood, the child is made to learn to give. And when he learns to give, then he'll be very peaceful, then he'll be very happy. Like when Lord Krishna appeared, you know, Nanda Maharaj gave so many things in charity. We sing the famous song when you go to Nandagaon. Nanda ke ananda bhayo jai kanaya lalaki. Nanda ke ananda bhayo jai kanaya lalaki. Hati dini, ghode dini, aur dini palaki. You know, hati ghode palaki. Jawanon ko hati ghode budon ko palaki. So this particular concept of giving in charity is always there. In the Vedic culture, there's nothing like taking. No, you'll never find anywhere that you take, take, take. Everywhere there is a concept or culture of giving. Giving, you know. Now the thing is that when there's a birthday, you expect somebody should give you a gift. You know, you expect, the child always waits. What will he give me? What will he give me, you know? The more he gets, the more he becomes miserable. In the sense, because first of all, he gets, and then he starts to compare, and he starts expecting more. The more he expects, and he is not according to his expectation, then he becomes miserable. Then whatever you give him, he is not very grateful, you know. But when you give, then you know, then you become really happy and blissful. Like I remember, we had this after Sri Arvind Mafatla left his body, his granddaughter Karuna Manjari Mataji was, you know, offering her glorification. And she was saying that when we were small children, she would, you know, they would be taken to an orphanage. That was their birthday party. You know, they would be taken to the orphanage and they would be taught how to give something to them. That was a concept, that was a culture, that, you know, you just want to give something. You just want, you should try to give something. So this particular culture is so important of giving, you know. And when you have that culture, then Srila Prabhupada says, then you'll be happy and blissful. You know, here we find that the fruit vendor here, she's trying to give this to Krishna with love and affection. And Krishna reciprocates millions of times. You know, talking about precious, filled with jewels and golds, precious jewels. The fruit vendor could not have expected that she would get like this. She would have expected some grains here and there, but then, you know, precious jewels and gold, probably she would have to work the whole life for that. But she got it from Krishna, you know. That there's another way to look at it. You know, how Krishna, you know, also doesn't think like, you know, that this is my property. Everything belongs to me. And, you know, what big deal she has done if she has given me some things. I deserve it. Krishna doesn't think like that also. Krishna feels very grateful that this person has given something to me with love and affection. And Krishna wants to reciprocate to that millions of times. You know, that's the nature of the Lord. The Lord wants to reciprocate much more. Like in proper Lilamrit, right in the first pages, talking about the childhood life of Srila Prabhupada, and there it's mentioned that how, you know, like Srila Prabhupada's father would call sadhus home and then feed them and then beg them that, you know, pray that he can become a nice devotee of Srimati Radharani. And there it's mentioned that if Krishna wants to give you, what can you, how much you can take with the two hands? And if Krishna wants to take away, you know, how much you cannot hold anything. So very nice, nice thing that, you know, just you can meditate on this, that how much you can hold if Krishna wants to give you. Krishna can give you umpteen, billions, so much. But what we need to learn is the learning the culture of giving. The learning the culture of just, you know, sharing and giving with, you know, like that. Like Srila Prabhupada mentions about, you know, very nice analogy. He says that in this, how this, you know, tendency in this material world is like one person was drowning. And is a person who was basically a businessman and he was drowning, and the other person in the boat was giving his hand. He says, give your hand. So he was not understanding at all. But when he said, take the hand, he took it immediately because he understood the concept of taking. Just give your hand, he was still drowning. He was not able to, you know, understand what, he did not register to him. But the moment he said, take your hand, he immediately took it. And then he was picked up, you know. So like that, in this world, we just don't understand the, you know, concept of giving, right? I just want to share with you one very, very wonderful, it's a fiction actually, because my wife tells so many stories to my children, so it has some moral values in it also. So this is a fiction, but then it's very nice to learn the, you know, information or what the message that the story is giving to all us. You know, there is this famous author called Roald Dahl. He's writing about one person called Henry Sugar. This person is a total materialistic person, absolutely a materialistic person. Now this person, you know, goes through some information and he finds that in India, you know, there is one yogi who can see blindfolded. He just closes his eyes and then he can actually see what's happening, what's there in front of you. What color that person is, or dress color is wearing, what is he doing, everything he can make out. So he's very keen to know. He comes to this place and then he somehow or other meets this person who is, you know, having that particular siddhi. So this person says, I have learned from someone who is in the Himalayas. And, you know, this person will teach you. So this Henry Sugar travels all the way to Himalayas. He goes to a particular place where this sadhu is staying, and he wants to learn that particular mystic siddhi from him. How to see even if you are blindfolded. Of course, he had some intention behind it. You know, he wanted to make money in casino. He wanted to make money in casino because he wanted to see what cards the opposite person has. So he can guess what card is there and make money out of it. That's what happens. So he learned the siddhi over there. It took him a lot of effort. He took a lot of effort to just learn that siddhi. So many years he spent. And after some time, he started mastering that siddhi. But it would take him about 15 minutes, 20 minutes to know. You know, like you just keep a card in front and you try to meditate, focus. And then within 15, 20 minutes, he could understand what that card is, the playing cards. But then he said, if 15 minutes is not enough, he has to reduce the time, because when you go to a casino, you cannot wait for 15 minutes. So 15 minutes came to 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute. It said, I have to guess it within 10 seconds. And then he somehow or the other masters it, and you know, in 10 seconds he can guess what that card is. And then he goes to the casino, and then you know, wherever he goes, he just makes money, because he has learned that art of how to see the card what the other person has. And that way he amasses huge amount of money. Huge amount of money. You know, like so much so that he had trunks full of money. But the problem is that after he has that, then he becomes very miserable. Because he's not able to understand what to do with this money. You know? He's just completely in anxiety. He doesn't know. Because now he has money, but he doesn't know what to do with this money. Then somehow or the other, he has been suggested by one of his friends. He was also an orphan when he was small. He says, why don't you just give it to some orphan? And then it strikes him. And then he opens a place for the orphans. And he spends for that. So whatever money he has accumulated, he spends. And then it's shown that how he becomes very happy by just spending for that. So the point I wanted to say here is that this particular person, the author, he also understands as a materialist. He may not be a devotee, but he also understands that wealth accumulation, nothing can make you happy. But only when you serve, when you use this in something which is tangible and fruitful, then the person becomes happy. And we are very fortunate that we are being trained to serve Krishna and his devotees with love and affection. So you can imagine how much bliss that will give us. How much? Just as I was talking about how Krishna, just as we serve, Krishna also wants to serve. Krishna also wants to share with us whatever he has. Krishna doesn't want to keep it for himself. He wants, Prabhupada mentions many places. Prabhupada says that Krishna wants, I just read the exact thing what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. He says, even Krishna enjoys sharing bliss with all living entities. Only thing is that we only need to cooperate with him, And he shares his own pleasures with his servitors. So Krishna likes to do that. First of all, when you offer something to him, Krishna becomes very grateful. He just reciprocates millions of times. So two things that we can learn from him, that, how Krishna becomes so grateful and he gives so much. Similarly, how much we should be grateful when we receive something. We have something with us, we should be grateful for what you received, because ultimately we have not accumulated, we have not got it. We are born, by some reason we have got something, and then whatever we have got, we should just try to give it to others. Just share or give it to others. If Krishna can do that, what about us? We also have to be grateful for what we have received and then try to serve, try to give that, with love and affection. That's the thing. And Krishna, when he sees that, then he becomes very happy. Like the personified Vedas, it's a nice thing. In the 10th canto of the 85th chapter, the personified Vedas, they are glorifying the Lord. And they are saying that all these accumulations, talking about 9 aspects, he says all these accumulations which you have, is only just going to get us only misery and anxiety. But only when we serve you, then he becomes happy. Like, what are the 9 things? Swajane. Swajane means the servants. You know, somebody may be very proud that I have so many servants. Atma means my own, you know, ourselves. Then Suta. Suta means nice, well-behaved children. Somebody may think that, you know, my children are well-behaved. They don't cause much trouble. And then Dhara. Dhara means what? Very affectionate and loving wife. You know? Very affectionate, loving, submissive wife. That's how it's been translated. Dhanam. Dhanam means, you know, the wealth, financial assets. Dhamma. Dhamma means a prestigious, you know, house. Then Dhara. Dhara means a land, a plot of land that you may have. Asava. Asava means, you know, so many other aspects, the health, the strength and everything. And Ratha means your vehicle, you know, maybe car or cycle or maybe scooter or whatever it may be, you know. The person for Vedas are saying that all these things, even if one accumulates, it's of no use. It is only going to get you more and more misery. Because it will only agitate your senses so much that it will make you so much self-centered that you have so many things, you have so many things yourself, and you become so self-centered. You will not have that concept of just sharing. You become more and more possessive. You know, but then only when one tries to serve, you know, they are saying that we can become happy only when we try to serve you. That's the thing. So here it's mentioned like that. And Srila Prabhupada just very, very nicely just, you know, expands on this particular aspect, you know. So even with the knowledge, like knowledge and wealth, it said that the more you share, the more you give, the more you get it. In giving, you receive. You know, Srila Prabhupada says it's somebody who doesn't share his knowledge is called as Jnana Khala. You know, he's a miser. He doesn't want to. But the point is that when you have knowledge and we try to share it with someone, then you become enriched more with knowledge. It's not that the knowledge goes down. No. So that's why, you know, when you preach the message of Krishna, it enlivens you more. The preacher is more enlivened than the people who hear. Because when he goes on speaking, then, you know, he is more enriched with that knowledge. But if he tries to hold on to himself, then what happens? Then he doesn't get anything out of from it. So similarly, like, you know, knowledge has to be given. Srila Prabhupada mentions that also. Prabhupada mentions that a brahmana means someone who doesn't hold anything. He just gives the knowledge. Yajan, yajan. Patan, patan. He just studies and he gives. Studies and gives. He doesn't keep anything for himself. Oh, what if I should not give this knowledge to someone? Otherwise, my knowledge will become less. It never happens like that. So similarly, whatever one's possession one has, if one shares or one gives it, because first of all, understanding that nothing belongs to us. It's just that we are a custodian for some time, for some years. After we leave the body, we don't know what. Who will use that money? A very, very nice incident, like, you know, we have one person whose wife has two brothers. Means two brothers and a sister. Very wonderful, nicely behaved, cultured, and, you know, good relation with them, each other. And the father is a rich person, has amassed huge quantity, huge amount of wealth. But after the mother left and the father left, now the brothers are fighting amongst themselves. And the brothers have decided that they will not give any share to their sister. And the sister is thinking, like, why I should not? So she also want to enter into the whole thing. She says, I want my share also. Though her husband is well off, husband doesn't even, but she just out of, you know, I also want my share. Now, all these things brings to the realization of this particular boy, means her husband, that, you know, he says, I understood one thing, that wealth cannot bring you that happiness. You try to have that, but then if you don't use it properly, then that wealth will be in some way or other being, you know, somebody else will fight over it. Somebody else will, you know, squander away the money. And you don't know what somebody else will do for that. And the person who has actually amassed that wealth may have spent so much of time and energy to really, you know, get so much of wealth, thinking that, okay, I am doing it for my children. My children should be very peaceful, very happy. And they should be nicely staying for eternity, which doesn't happen. You know, this is a real story which I heard just about a month back, and this is still going on. The war is still going on there. You know, which brings us to us one realization that what is the use of hoarding? Better that, you know, give it. By giving, then at least, you know, you will become happy. And that's always going to be there. Like how when we serve Krishna, like, you know, that's a wonderful way. Like as grihasthas, when they have deities in their house, the center of attention becomes the deities. Then wherever they go, then they always think what I can get from deities. You know, somebody's attached to Radha Gopinath. And it's a, what can I get for them? What can I give for them? And when you do that, when you see the deities wonderfully dressed, wonderfully decorated, then you become happy. Like Srila Prabhupada here mentions that if you try to serve Krishna with all opulences, we as parts and parcels or reflection of Krishna will become happy in exchange. Why? Krishna is always happy. You know, but then when we serve him, when we do everything for his pleasure, then we become happy. And that's the nature. You know, like we see like a mundane example, like someone who loves the child, you know, does everything for the child. And when he sees the child happy, he becomes happy. The father or the mother becomes happy. You know, the mother always meditates on how to get anything for the child, how to get, you know, wonderful, or how to cook nice things for the child. And when the child is very happy, then the mother is happy. But when the child is morose, then the mother is also like that. You know? So similarly, this is a mundane example, but then I'm just saying that, you know, when you do that for Krishna, then what happens? Then when you see Krishna decorated so nicely, wonderfully, then you also become so happy and blissful. And that's the key point here, that, you know, how in this world that one has to imbibe this culture of giving. You know? And then there's no end to it. Like, again, we have this wonderful story of Sudama, that Sudama just went with some flat rice to Krishna. He did not want to go, actually. First of all, he didn't want to go and beg from Krishna for something. But his wife forced, he said, you should go, at least you ask for some cow, something. Because he was so poor. And while going, he took something with him. No, he was forced. He said, at least you take something. They didn't have anything in the house. Got some flat rice from somewhere and then took it. And then Sudama was so nicely welcomed by Krishna. He took him in his inner chambers, washed his feet, started speaking about the wonderful time that they spent in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And then suddenly Krishna remembered how they went in the forest and they got lost and they spent a whole night in the forest and how they shared that flat rice. And suddenly Krishna remembered. He said, do you got anything for me? Did you get anything for me? So how we could give, because such a Krishna, just like, you know, you go to Tata Birla's and you carry some one or two chocolates, you know, what gift can you say? Just take this. A 5 paisa, 10 paisa, or 1 rupee chocolate, you know, nowadays you don't get for 5 paisa, but you, 1 rupee peppermint. Yeah, you can't, something like that, you know. So that time puffed rice, flat rice was available cheap everywhere, free almost. Even that time was also not there with them. So this flat rice, even now also, if you find, of all the grains, you know, the flat rice is the cheaper things amongst everything, if you see. So that time, you can imagine, flat rice had no value. So Krishna said, you got something. And somehow he grabbed it. And he took one morsel of it. And when he was about to take the second morsel, Rukmini stopped. He said, enough. And in the purport, the Acharya's explanation is like this. That Rukmini is trying to think that now Krishna has eaten one morsel, finished. Goddess of fortune had to give a vast amount of wealth now. Well, another one thing, Another morsel means Rukmini thought that she will have to become a servant in that devotee's house. So that's why Rukmini stopped. Krishna has given something. So Rukmini, it said, Prabhupada mentioned, you know, in this particular purport, it's mentioned that, you know, when you give Rukmini, when you give everything, when Sudama gave to Krishna, Krishna ate this, Rukmini thought that, you know, now I have to give him all opulences. So at that time, Krishna did not. But when Sudama was going back, he was just going, he did not remember that, he did not think that Krishna did not give me anything. He was very happy to have his wonderful association. But then, when he went back, he saw that whole, you know, place has been converted into a wonderful palace. The children were dressed very nicely. The wife was wearing so many ornaments, dressed very heavily with the dress. And that's how Krishna reciprocates, actually. In fact, this thing which is there in the 10th canto, which we'll see later on. But then, just to drive home this point, that, you know, whatever we do for Krishna, we'll never be a loser. We'll always be gaining, you know, as Prabhupada mentions, both materially and spiritually. Spiritual wealth also is going to be there. You know, spiritual wealth also we accumulate by just, you know, serving Krishna. Just to end with, you know, a little off, we just know the story about Gopinath Pattanaika. You know, how this Gopinath Pattanaika was working in the for Maharaj Pratap Rudra. Somehow or the other, he misappropriated his funds, the funds of the treasury. It was brought to the attention of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra said, whatever you feel necessary, do it. Get the money back from him. But somehow or the other, you know, like his son approached him. Maharaj Pratap's son approached him. He said, you have to give the money. He said, I don't know anything, but you can take my horses. And the horses are very good horses. And I can get a better price for this. You just pay me the right price for this. And whatever the money you get, you can just take that money. So the king's son quoted a very, very low price for those horses. And this angered Gopinath Pattanaika and said, you know, my horses don't, you know, lift the head like this in the sky like you. Because this son of Maharaj Pratap had a habit of, you know, speaking like this. So he said, my horses don't do like this. They're better than you. So he made a sarcastic remark. But then what happened is that it angered the king's son so much that he actually put him on the changa. Changa means like basically, you know, what to say, hang. It was not a hanging, but then, you know, there's a flat platform. And then underneath are very sharp swords, and the platform is removed, and it's just on the pointed swords, and you will die. And he was put on changa. The news reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Devotees went and approached. He says, please tell, you know, Maharaj Pratap Rudra not to do this. He's your devotee. You know, see, just imagine, he is a devotee, Gopinath Patan. He's a brother of Brahmanand Rai. But then he had that intention of just siphoning of the money also, you know. Mixed devotee. He had a devotee, but he had his nature to just take out money and keep it for himself. You know, that's what the money does sometimes, you know, makes you lose your ethics and culture. And the news reached Maharaj Pratap, Chaitanya said, he has to suffer for his whatever he has done. You cannot avoid it. But the request was coming very often. And Chaitanya became very angry. He said, if you again tell me, I am going to leave this Puri and go somewhere else. And at the same time, Vaninath Rai was also put in the jail. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, he says, what was Vaninath Rai doing? He says, Vaninath Rai was chanting the holy names. He was chanting the holy names constantly. And then ultimately, when the news reached Maharaj Pratap, Maharaj said, I never told you to put on the changa. I just said, whatever is possible, you just do the needful and then get the money from him back. So he immediately ordered that he should be taken out of changa. And then afterwards, he was well rewarded, and not only that, his salary was doubled, and that was a gift that he got, you know, in reciprocation for all that he had done. He misappropriated funds, but he just was put on the changa, and then when he was got back, his salary was doubled. But when both of them came in front of, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gvaniyatra, his brother was also there, and Gopinath Patanaika was also there. And Gopinath Patanaika was mentioning that, my dear Lord, you know, people may say that this is the mercy, that you have got the wealth. But actually, this is not the mercy. The special mercy is what you have given to my brother, Vaninath Rai. That in that situation, he was intensely taking shelter of the holy names. He says, you please give me that wealth which my brother has, Vaninath Rai. And, you know, the nice one place where I heard from one of the speakers is saying that this is actually the wealth that one receives. One receives that wealth of taking shelter of the Lord's holy names. Because in any situation, like, you know, one day or other, whatever we possess, everything will just go off. You know, whatever we claim as ours will not remain ours. Will be somebody else's. We hear for some years, and when we leave the body, we just, you know, somebody else takes that. But what will really be with you to your credit will be all the spiritual wealth that you've accumulated. And taking shelter of the Lord's holy name is the greatest wealth that you can. So ultimately, you know, when you serve the Lord, ideally when you serve Krishna, Krishna's representatives, with sincere feelings, then what happens? You get this particular wealth, the spiritual wealth. And when you have that, then that is the greatest achievement that you have done in your life. So this is what I wanted to share with you all. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.